Good day. Hi, it's Tim Warren coming to you with another exciting episode of Travel Business Success. And I'm honored today to have my friend and associate Jeremy Garrett on the line. And we're going to be talking about a topic that we both have experience and passion for, and we know can make a big difference for tourism professionals. And specifically, we're talking about the cultural differences that exist out there in the world and the importance of having an appreciation for them as we bring people to foreign lands, and really how this impacts the not only the client's experience but as well as the peoples and the lands we visit. What do you think, Jeremy? Did I kind of capture it?
You did indeed, and thank you for inviting me on, Tim. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Well, you know, we've both been in the travel business a long time, and we've been blessed to have a lot of different experiences. And what in a conversation we were having, we were talking about how we noticed that sometimes both the travel operators, the tour operators, may not fully brief and coach and assist their clients and the environment they're taking them to if it's a foreign land, and vice versa, the staff needs to appreciate and understand some of the needs of their clientele. So you and I decided this would be an important topic to get out on a podcast. So I'd like to give people just a real quick background of, so they know who you are and why you can speak to this topic. So, Jeremy, why don't you tell us what it is you do now and in the travel world?
Okay. Well, for the past 4.5 years, I have developed my own consulting firm called Natura Communications, engaged primarily in the promotion and marketing of what I would call sustainable tourism destinations and products.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I was the membership director for the International Ecotourism Society. So through both of these jobs, I've gained a wide international view of not only what consumers want and think, but also what the travel industry looks for and looks at in different areas.
One of the things that I've appreciated about you, Jeremy, is that you've been engaged with quite a bit of international travel, and both in the trade show world, working with the destinations, tour operators, lodges, et cetera. And it's an interesting contrast in education we have when we go to these foreign countries and we see the interaction between the staff and the guests and this and that. So I thought you were particularly prepared to speak to this. Why don't you tell us how we met and let's give a little better background of some of our business adventures together.
Okay. Well, I won't go into how many times you pestered me about membership when I was at the Ecotourism Society, but that's kind of how our friendship started, was some lengthy conversations that we developed then. And then you and I worked together specifically on a project in Michigan in the Eastern Upper Peninsula to help develop some products for the people up there to better engage travelers into investing themselves into that region. And we've just had a long-term discussion and friendship about any number of topics. One of the things that has kind of come up now and again is how to deal with other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that prompted this whole discussion for the podcast was I was telling you about some work that I had done in Latin America. And there is a general difference between promotion from Latin America to a North American audience as opposed to a North American view going to that same North American audience. For example, when I look at some Latino materials, say for a trade event or for a website, you see lots of vibrant, bright colors and lots of images on a screen, and in some way, to me, as what I would call a North American gringo, it's a bit of a culture shock in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you talk to the Latino audience down there, you know, it's an everyday event with them. You know, they like to capitalize on their culture and the differences and and everything that makes them unique. Mm-hmm. And so what that kind of translated to when you and I were discussing this was there really is a difference in the mindset of another culture. And we as travel professionals need to always be aware of that in how we promote ourselves, how we talk to other people from other cultures. And, you know, I think we all agree that travel is the best learning environment for, you know, for other cultures. And so we want to make sure that that learning environment is positive on both ends and that no one suffers.
It's a great point. You know, the B2B side of things as travel professionals to travel professionals and creating win-win relationships with each other. And I know that that's a big need, especially in the, as you mentioned, Latin America or Asia, and so many of these great, fantastic trips want to create relationships with tour operators and travel agents here in North America. And it's important for them to understand how to language and to present their and put their best foot forward such
exactly.
that we exactly. want to do business with them. So you bring up a great point. So how would you recommend, Jeremy, that let's say someone, and let's use the Latin America as a great example. What would you recommend to a listener in North America, excuse me, South America, let's say, or that how to best position and communicate to someone in North America that that will get some attention, that will lead to some business relationship.
Right. You know what? I think the biggest thing that I always see is a lack of really good interpretation.
Mm.
For example, you may read a paragraph and it has been translated, and because it was translated by a Latino, it has a different. It comes out differently. In how the verbs and the nouns are used and the adjectives and adverbs and all of that, it comes out a different sentence than you and I as North Americans would say it. And so if you were a North American looking at the South American promotional piece, you might think they were not very professional.
Yes.
And that's probably not the case at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, they probably went out and got someone to translate it, but because of how people are trained to translate, they don't always capture the essence of you know the general slang and everything that the other culture uses. So what I would always recommend is, yes, if you can translate your materials into multiple languages, and I encourage that for North American companies too.
Absolutely.
We are looking right now at one of the biggest marketing traveling audiences in the next 20 years is going to be China.
Mm-hmm.
Yet how many websites have anything in Chinese? How many road signs? How many maps are produced in Chinese? We want to capture, you know, these new travelers. And, you know, everyone is talking about, I want the Chinese to come here, yet they're not producing anything that would encourage a Chinese citizen to want to consider your destination.
Or worse yet, perhaps pushing people away because they didn't put the effort into properly getting it translated. It looks, as you said, unprofessional.
Yeah.
And the people reading it, whether they're a consumer or a business, are going to go, these guys are idiots.
Right.
And it, as you said, it's doing them a disservice, and they may be a very professional company, so I would definitely concur with you and advise people that because the return on investment potentially is so huge, all it takes is just one major tour operator to go, wow, this trip down to Angel Falls, this Eco Lodge sounds
yeah.
awesome. I would like to work with these guys. These guys are experienced. They've had lots of guests. Look at these facilities, and they're giving me a great discount. I want to work with them. And so, you know, one properly done promotional piece, whether it's an email, a direct mail, or the website,
yep.
could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So,
exactly.
Good point about the quality and the caliber of
yeah.
that communication.
So get a good translator, and then have someone – from your key destination, read it, read what the translator has done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you actually have two opinions. One is the local person who's translated it. The other is someone from your target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the target audience is the one you want to please, if that's who you want to bring.
And I would add to that, whether they're going after a B2B or a B2C market, is that in addition to getting a well-translated piece that's going to be received well by your target market, I would look for at least a testimony or two from someone in that target market that says, hey, I went to that South American tour operator. I had a good time. It was great. The professional, you know, they really look out for my best interest. Then the consumer or that business who's considering working with that operator, it doesn't feel like a guinea pig.
Right. Yeah, and that's a great point, because so many companies do have international clientele, and they can take advantage of them in a couple of ways. One is to provide that cultural eye to their materials, and the other is to provide some testimonials. And you could easily send them a free T-shirt or a cap or something like that. And most people would be glad to do that, especially if you developed a great rapport with them on the trip.
Let's flip this around and look at it now from the consumer side of things, because this is a good segue. Let's assume that we're already in a selling mode. We've put our good, well-translated marketing materials out there. We've secured relationships with the industry as well as consumers, and we're gonna bring these people down. Let's go back to a Latin American country. We're gonna bring a North American down, and there's cultural differences these consumers might experience down there, isn't there?
Exactly. We have a saying of island time, and I've been in some destinations that are not only island time, but they're Latino time. So you've got Latino island time, and if you look at it from a North American perspective, you might say, well, they're not working very hard, they're not they're not accomplishing anything. Yet if you're looking at it from the Latino mindset, or from a Caribbean or an island mindset, it's like, why are you worrying so much? Enjoy it. It's your vacation. So there are two perspectives, and what you would hope the country destination is able to train their staff to know that if someone is coming in from another international destination, they're going to have different viewpoints and different wants. For example, I went to the Dominican Republic last spring for a family vacation, and there were a lot of people from Germany and England staying at the resort, and they were content to stay there. But a lot of the North Americans that I met from Canada also, and the U.S., we wanted to go out about the third day and go do some hiking or some trekking. It was hard for us to sit still that long, mm-hmm. or to sit on the beach that long. And so if you have international people coming in, you need to be able to know sort of what their mentality is, and to be able to provide different services to accommodate them.
The angle that you're looking at it from basically an operator to the consumer is critical, and I want our Latin listeners to know that no diss intended about different cultural lifestyles. It's just we're all different.
Exactly.
And there's no right or wrong side of things, and I believe you touched upon a good point that I want people to really understand is on the other side of it is that we as operators, whether you're a current professional in the hospitality industry or a future one, is that this is really about this is a customer service issue, because long before they go on that trip, we have a unique and opportunity to educate that future traveler on
right.
those cultural differences
right.
so that they don't get their knickers in a twist when things go a little slower or the road quality is not up to standards. And see, I think this is the part of one of the most important parts of customer service that people do not, travel professionals don't think about, is what I call the pre-trip customer service. What can we do long before they go to the trip to educate and them as to the cultural differences, things, also educate them as to what they might expect, and because I qualify them on, especially on any safety issues. One of the, down in my brother's Baja resort, one of the very first things that we do is when we arrive there, but even before that is give them safety briefings on various natural critters that could be a problem. And one of the biggest ones is stingrays. People think, oh my gosh, the desert, rattlesnakes, scorpions. No, it's stingrays in the little teeny ones in the first 8 or 10 inches of water that the hide, you step on them and they hit you, they sting you in the ankle and it hurts like heck. But we start that education before they ever get there. And then when they get there, once again, go through a overview, introduction, and reminder, because people forget.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. That the pre-trip information, that's where you can tell your travelers that are coming in, you know, things may not work exactly as they're planned in the itinerary, but we're going to accomplish everything that we've set out to do. We're a professional company. We're going to keep you safe. We're going to have fun. And remember, this is your vacation, and you came to us because it's a different culture. It's a different destination. And we're going to share some of our lifestyle with you. We hope that by the end of this trip, you're going to think of us as family because we think of you that way. And you're going to leave with a better perspective of our culture. And so it may be a little slower. It may be a little less hectic than you're used to. And that's what you came here for.
And like a good family, a good parent, not only would they want to take you under their arm and show you the best of what's available, they would also want to keep you from doing something stupid and hurting yourself.
Yep.
And so I think it's really important that our guests understand that the decisions that we make are in their best interest, and that's part of that education process before, during, and even after the trips, because really this is happy. If we have customers who are safe and know that you're looking out for their best interest, too, they've seen all this kind of the best of that, what that area has to offer, you've got these really happy clients,
yep.
And what are they going to do when they get back?
They're going to tell everyone.
That's right. Happy customers are your best source of getting your guests to sell for you, and it really started with having an awareness that there may be cultural differences or environmental differences in from where your guests are from and where we're taking them to. It doesn't matter which way we're going, whether we're going west to east, east to west, north to south, it's all the same. There's just differences.
Right, right. No, that's the beauty of travel, is that we're able to accommodate all these different cultures and hopefully have a greater appreciation for our neighbors, no matter where they are.
And through that appreciation, I think you and I are both advocates of this, is that as travel is not only fun, but it's the best way to have an appreciation of the diversity and that understanding of each other. And through that understanding brings us closer together and brings us all as inhabitants on planet Earth. And what a great thing that we get to experience the diversity, experience the differences, and appreciate it and enjoy it through the wonderful world of travel.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a great talk, Jeremy. I'm so glad that we did this. It's just a reminder about how important it is, whether you're a business trying to create relationship with another business in another country, about the quality and the caliber of that communication, or whether you're promoting to the consumer, or that last part, which I think is one of the simplest but most overlooked one, is that educating our guests before and during a trip so that they have fun and are safe and are going to go home and be your best salespeople.
Right.
Any closing comments on this topic, and if also I wanted people to know your website.
No, I think we've covered it, but yes, people are welcome to take a look at some of the different projects that I'm working on. It's Natur, N-A-T-O-U-R, .us.
Fantastic, and I also want to put a pitch out to the listeners that throughout 07, we're going to be doing monthly trainings by phone, teletrainings, on all kinds of business, sales, marketing, e-marketing, operations, strategic planning, basic tips, tools, and resources. And so be sure to visit our website, which is tourismbusinessstrategies.com, and sign up for our Travel Business Success newsletter, and then you'll get first notice of these trainings and some of the other information products that we're going to be launching. Jeremy, I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to a more fun business adventures together in 07. You take care.
Thank you, Tim.
Take care. Bye-bye.